Hello and welcome to the Ripped Body Podcast. I'm Andy Morgan. With me, I have Coach Matt.
Hey, everyone.
You're not going to say hi to me?
Andy, how's it going? How's Japan?
And welcome to our first Friday Q&A episode, where we're going to aim to answer a couple of your questions. Now, if you'd ever like to submit these, you can just send an email to podcast@ripbody.com, and we will both see that, and then we've got our own list. We'll order them up, and then we'll knock them out 2 a week for you. Here's our first question. Guys, I'm 4 weeks into a cut. I lost 6 pounds in my first week, but I've been hovering at the same weight since. I'm under my calorie targets every day, but I figure this is a good thing as it should help me cut faster, right? I'm bang on for my protein and my fat numbers, but I'm under for my carbs. What am I doing wrong? Sven,
okay. That's a really good question. The first thing I would say is that we really need more time and more data to see what's happening. 6 pounds in your first week is great, but there's a good chance that's a lot of water weight from cutting your carbs down. And so after that, we really have maybe 3 weeks of consistent data, and we'd like to see at least 4. So I would stick with it for another week, see what happens. And then as far as eating under your calorie targets every day being a good thing, I actually wouldn't recommend that. We don't want you to intentionally eat under your targets. It's going to make you hungrier. It's going to be harder to stick to your diet. There's probably a better chance of losing muscle along the way. So you always want to eat as much as you can while still seeing good results. So you may need to adjust, but give it more time so we have more data to see. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, so I would want to have a look at his individual data points for every day, if possible. I'm sure he has this. But if he doesn't, and he's only been taking his weight once a week, then that's a bit of a red flag, because weight fluctuates and you could just be happening to be measuring on days that you're heavier than the average. But let's say that most people know that and they're not making that mistake. Okay. All right. So then I would want to see the stomach measurements and see whether we're seeing consistent decreases in those stomach measurements. If we are, then that means we're losing fat. And it would suggest, as weight is stable, that we're gaining muscle at the same time. But your point on waiting 4 weeks is a good one. It sounds like they just started their diet. Often, at the end of a four-week period, yeah, we have this initial dip in weight. But then over the next 3 weeks, usually we can read off a trend. But if one isn't clear, then waiting another week, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. Now, what I suspect has happened here is that the initial weight loss, that 6 pounds, that wasn't due to a calorie deficit per se. It was due to a reduction in food volume and a change in the macronutrients that were eaten. So I'm thinking that there was probably less fiber that was consumed, and a much lower carb intake, which Sven has already mentioned. And what has happened here is that this initial weight loss has been from water, gut content, and glycogen going down. And then there just hasn't been a calorie deficit. I would bet that Sven has cut out the carbs and increased the fattier foods in his diet, but he's underestimating the fat content of them. And thus, he's wiped out the calorie deficit without really realizing that. Yep. And so I would really consider the possibility of a counting issue. And so if, Sven, you're not doing it already, I would get an app like MacroFactor, and I would log everything that crosses your lips for 2 weeks. I would consider things like alcohol that you may be missing, but I don't think it's going to be that, because you haven't suddenly started doing that. The changes that you've made recently are to the diet. My guess would be These fattier cuts of meat are much fattier than you're considering. And there's now oil in the pan or whatever that you have been failing to count and taking into consideration. So I would look there.
Yeah, that's a good point about the meat. That's what I was going to add on, because he said he's bang on for protein and fat. So it sounds like he's tracking it. But if it's a fattier cut of meat, you never really know exactly what you're getting. So yeah, with your Strix tracking, maybe try leaner proteins just so it's a little bit easier to be accurate there.
Yeah. So, and then look, if in the next week you do experience another whoosh of weight, then we can write that down off. We can write that off to being you were holding onto water. And that occasionally happens. It's unlikely, but it occasionally happens, especially if you've been stressed, struggling with sleep. So you could wait another week. I would still recommend logging everything. And if that happens and you happen to lose, say, 3 pounds, well, then, hey, you're pretty much on track with your target, assuming that you're aiming to lose like 0.75 pound to 1 pound per week. So, yeah. Anyway, great question. Appreciate it, Sven.
Okay. Our second question is from Andre. He said, is a front squat a good exercise for a beginner, or would it be too difficult to perform correctly if my back squat form is still not very good? I train at home and I'm running a modified form of your novice bodybuilding program. I need an alternative to the leg press on day 3. Thank you, Andre. That's a great question. Andy.
All right. What do you think? For the novice bodybuilding program, for anyone who's not familiar, it's a 4-day program. On the first and third days, we have lower body. And on the second and fourth days, we have upper body. The first and third days are slightly different to each other, and the two upper body days are slightly different to each other. So what you'll see is that we have barbell back squats programmed, well, as the suggested exercise for the first day. And then for the second day, we have a leg press or similar programmed for that third day. So this is where Andre is coming from with this question. However, he said that his back squat form is not very good. And he's training at home, so he needs to find an alternative to the leg press. And in this situation, I would suggest back squatting more. That would be generally my first go-to, because back squats are fantastic exercise, but they require practice to get good at them. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with squatting twice a week. In fact, I think that's a great idea. And in general, the fewer exercises that we have to learn at a time, the better. So what do I mean by that? Let's say a concrete example. I would much prefer that someone started off with a very simple program that had, say, barbell squats, bench, and deadlift. Maybe they also had a lat pull down machine in there, and maybe some biceps and triceps that doesn't have, just to make them feel good. they don't really have high technique demands. There isn't like a high degree of skill necessary there. Then going to straight to the intermediate, straight to the novice bodybuilding program that has, 12 different exercises that they are all completely new to, and they're trying to learn the form of all of those at once. I think it is much better to limit the number of exercises that you're learning at any one time and only add them in when you're comfortable with those first ones. And the programs on the site, that they're taken from the Muscle and Strength Pyramid training book. Although they are labeled novice and then intermediate, these novice programs, they're not really for like true novices, as in people who are brand new to the gym. They're more novices to people who've decided to take things pretty seriously for the first time, but have some lifting experience. Yeah. Anyway, Matt, what do you think?
I agree completely with everything you said. And then I would just add on one thing with front squats. I learned from working in gyms for so many years, it can be a really difficult move for people to pick up. And it's not always a form issue. A lot of people I've worked with have been athletes or intermediate lifters. People have been training and they still can't get the front squat. It's just an awkward position for the barbell. A lot of times you can have like wrist or elbow issues where you can't hold the bar correctly or your ankle mobility is tight. It's just really tough. Even if we're coaching someone in person, sometimes people just can't do the front squat without doing a lot of like lead up work with improving mobility and things like that. So yeah, definitely get the back squat first, because I think the front squat is just going to be even more of a difficult thing to pick up and learn.
Yeah, I've seen more people mess it up than I have seen people do it right. But that probably speaks more to the quality of the gyms that I've been in than you. You've got more experience of training people in person than I do, Matt. And you've been in more serious gyms than I have, I think it's fair to say, because you've worked with, you've worked with Gen Pop, but you've also worked in gyms that cater specifically for athletes. So the fact that you're saying that even then you see a lot of people mess it up and it takes a lot of time, even though these people are quite athletic, I think that speaks to how tricky the front squat can be. It's not to say that people can't learn it with good form. Of course they can, but it can just be tricky. It's not a very natural movement. Do you have any tips for the mobility part that you said there? Could you just kind of elaborate on what the issue is there?
Yeah. So with the lower body, a lot of times people have tight calves or ankles. I have this. And so if you get down too low, your heel will kind of lift off the ground. That can be an easy fix if you have squat shoes or I wouldn't do the squat on a plate thing with a front squat because you can't really look down.
What do you mean?
You can try lifting shoes. So there'll be like lifting shoes where the heel gives you a lift, and that can help you keep, you know, driving through a heel and not have a lift off at the bottom. Right. And then a lot of people have upper body stuff that you really got to see someone for. I think it could be a wrist problem or elbow or shoulder. There are different limiting factors you might have in your upper body, but getting like that front rack position on a front squat is really difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah. So this having a heel, so a lifting shoe with a heel, that can help you to keep the bar over the center of the foot while still going low enough.
Right.
But of course, lifting shoes, they can be quite expensive. And then the alternative, which is to have your heel, just put a plate under each of your heels. It's just a bit janky. Right. It's not ideal. And the issue that you mentioned about, you know, grip position, I've broken one of my wrists twice, the other one once. I've still have issues with it. It's why I ended up getting out of the martial arts. My right wrist just doesn't bend. It can bend backwards, but let's say, imagine the push-up position. It doesn't like me to be in that, to take pressure in that force position. Like just holding my hand in this bent position now and putting slight pressure on it hurts. And so I always do press-ups, push-ups, either on my fists, like we used to do in the dojo, or with handles so that I can keep my wrists straight. So the way that I do front squats is this hands crossed over position so that I don't have to bend back and put pressure on my wrist. Any thoughts on that crossed over position for people who are considering it?
It's worth a try. I think some people feel like they have a little bit less control, like it can slide around a bit if you can't hook your fingers around it. It's certainly worth a try. Yeah. And the wrist thing is exactly why I think you can't really, there's not like a mobility trick that can fix your front squat right away. Like if you have tight heels, you can raise your heels on something. But with the upper body and wrist and elbow, like there's just a lot of things that could be off. But yeah, try the cross grip, see how it feels.
Yeah, my experience with the cross grip is that if you've got reasonable sized delts, by lifting your arms up, you can create enough of a pocket, a kind of a shelf to wedge that bar into. But if you don't, then there's less of a shelf to be on there. And then the leaner that you are generally and the less muscled you are, the more initial discomfort you're going to feel as you are taking that bar on your shoulder. But just for everyone, it's been a while since I felt this, and I'm sure you too, Matt, but I'm sure you can remember that first time that you do front squats. Like, I remember my first thoughts were, is it supposed to hurt this much? Because
yep.
It just felt like barbell on bone, which it wasn't really. I wasn't in such a bad position, but it was just a little sore. And it's just something you get used to, kind of like your hiking shoes. Your heels get used to it, right?
Yep. Yeah, if you do the cross grip, make sure you really stay upright.
Yeah.
So it doesn't fall off the front of your body. I think it's a little harder to keep in place with the cross grip. So make sure your form is really good.
That said, Andre, this is not what we're recommending to you. Stick with your barbell back squats for now.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the questions. If, as I said, you are interested in asking us, having your questions answered, then please send an email to podcast@ripbody.com. Catch you next time.